No, we paid the power bill. I wanted to ask them to take out the fluorescence so you could see some of these slides just a little bit better. Servant Song, arguably one of my favorite hymns. I will eternally be grateful to Richard Morrison, who resurrected this old tune, and to Matt Basford, another good friend, and to Tim Jennings for writing these lyrics that we sang. Wonderful. Well, hang on, we're not working. Remote's not working, Lee. It'll be worth the wait, hopefully. There we go. This is the western gate of the city of Jerusalem. Doesn't quite look that way right now, or now, because they've excavated a lot of this ground and put a big freeway through it. That's just the way things are in Jerusalem. But it sets the backdrop for what I want to talk to you tonight about. It's really a companion lesson to what we spoke to you this morning about, of being examples. Do as I do, and not just do as I say. Do as I do. A church that is successful is a living demonstration of how well a group of Christians can work together. If that is always our test, how well will we work together? Will we work together in such a way that builds up one another and not tears down? Tonight's lesson uses this metaphor of working together to build something essential and thus very important to us all. Here's a nighttime picture of the same wall. I thought it was pretty, and so I wanted you to see it. Again, it's the western wall of Jerusalem. They have several gates all the way around the city. This wall goes all the way around the city of Jerusalem, the old city. They have several gates. This is called the Western Gate or the Joppa Gate because the road that's there runs down to the coast, down to Joppa. The title of our lesson tonight is Builders of the Wall. When God brought the children of Israel back from Babylonian exile in the 6th century, He gave them the task of first rebuilding the temple and then rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. To rebuild the temple would enable proper worship to begin again. But the rebuilding of the walls would reestablish security and peace for God's people. Today, we are to be ever working together to build His church. Each of us must build in our spirit a temple, a place of worship. Let me repeat that. The place of worship is not located in a building, Jesus said when He spoke to the Samaritan woman, but in our spirit. We must build a place for worship in our spirit as we join with others to build the walls of God's city, a place of safety and peace. Safety and peace for all who seek refuge from the world of sin and turmoil. The world needs to see us as a city of worship, with safety and peace for all. Folks, the world, people out in the world got enough trouble. They don't need to come into a church that's constantly in trouble and fighting. And I praise God that that doesn't so far exist here. And we must work hard to never let that be the spirit among us. Let's look at this text in Ephesians 2:19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. That means we've come home in a sense. We've found our real place. We're no longer strangers and aliens as we are out in the world. Having been built on the foundation of what? The apostles and prophets. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Now I want you to let that figure sink in your mind. We are built upon a foundation composed of what the apostles and the prophets taught. And what did they do? They spoke about the cornerstone, Jesus, who was laid by God, and what he did upon this earth. And they then went out and told the world. And they built out from Jesus as the chief cornerstone. But we are built upon their foundational work of the apostles and the prophets. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Now watch this. The next paragraph. In whom, that is in Christ, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into what? A holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So as I build on Jesus Christ via the apostles and prophets, as you build on Jesus Christ via the apostles and prophets, guess what? We're going to be coming together. We're going to be fitted together in one unit, especially as this scene in a local church, even though in a sense it's also true of the universal church. But really, the practical part is that it's realized in a local church as we have here at Austin Road. So I want to talk to you tonight for a little bit about the builders of the wall from Nehemiah 3, 1 through 14. Now we're not going to examine all 14 verses. I decided to spare you tonight. So I'm just going to pick some of the verses that will illustrate our point. And we're going to make three points. First of all, we're going to talk about the names that we find in this text, these 14 verses. We're going to talk about the walls of Jerusalem being rebuilt. And then we're going to talk about the builders who built it and what we can learn from that. All right, let's begin with the names. We got Eliashib, Zakur, Hazanath, Merimoth, Meshulam, Zadok, and Joiada. Did you get all that? And I'm not even certain I pronounced them right. Have you ever been bored with all these names in the Bible, some of which are hard to pronounce? We don't know who they are. But yet, the Holy Spirit put them in this book. Now, why did he do that? And he put them in this book so that we could learn something. Why? What does God want us to know about them that we might know something important about ourselves? That's always the aim. In learning about others in the Bible, we learn something important about ourselves. Well, let's think for a moment. You think with me. What is the importance of names? What is the importance of a name of a person? Names are the symbols of people and what they stand for. Names are so closely associated with a person that we cannot think of that person without the name. When I say Tom Smithman, you come up with something, an image. I guess Troxel and Kelia have some of the most unusual names. But immediately, I've had people say, oh yeah, that couple there with those odd names in that church. And I said, Troxel and Kelia, yeah, that's it. It's unusual. You don't run into many names like that. And when your name is called, whatever your name is. And I could go around here and just name every one of you, hopefully. Unless I had a senior moment. That would be you. We want others to get our name right. Why? Because it represents us. I think I'm telling a story about Vonnie that he told me when he was over at the Bel Air Church. And he kept getting a particular woman's name wrong. He was calling her Sarah when he should have called her Hannah. I don't remember the name, but you get the point. For some reason, it stuck in his mind that she ought to be called Sarah when her name was Hannah. She kept correcting it. And so the next time he saw her, he said, oh, Sarah. She said, no, Jim. It's Hannah. He said, I remembered her name from that point on. Because it was important to him to not be called Jim. He was Vonnie. We want others to get our name right because it represents us. We think of a person is worth remembering, or we indicate that a person is worth remembering when we remember their name. People have asked me, John, how do you remember names? I don't know that I fully know. I've always had a facility about it. It came rather easy for me. But one of the ways I do it is that I try to focus on that person to remember them. To remember them. So that the next time I see them, I can call their name. Now, it's seemingly getting a little harder for me. They think that someone said that was a function of old age, but I'm denying it. To take their name seriously is to take them seriously. But I want to ask you a question. Does God take your name seriously? Does God take you seriously? Does He know who you are, who I am? Or are we just, that person, yeah, I think, God knows our name because He knows us. And then let's talk about the walls or the wall. I thought I'd removed all the S's here because I'm really talking about one continuous wall, even though it was built in sections. Wasn't built all just at one time. It was built, again, it took some time to rebuild the wall all the way around. Rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem was essential to the safety and security of Israel. The wall was a symbol, again, of security, safety, peace, and prosperity of the city of God. Christ's church was designed to be a place of refuge, a place of peace, a place of spiritual prosperity. We have to build the wall in order for it to be such a city in which to invite those in the turmoil of life in the world to come into a place of security where people will know them. People will count them important. Each person in building the wall, each person or persons built right next to the other person. For anyone to fail to build and to build well, their particular portion of the wall jeopardized everyone. You see that? There's a spiritual point there to be made. It is a family. It is a temple. It is a city. And what you do and what I do affects everybody else. Just think about rebuilding a wall for safety and security, peace and prosperity. And I'm charged with building this portion of it, but I get lazy. And I build it in a real shoddy fashion. What have I done? I've opened up danger for everybody else. Do you see how spiritually that applies to all of us? What we do and how we live affects everyone else. There's a warning that Paul makes in the Corinthian letter, and let's read it. He says to the Corinthians, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? What's the danger? Well, we tolerate some shoddy building in that portion of the wall. That's a little leaven. That's where the enemy comes in. One of the charges in regard to elders is that they are to look to themselves and others are to watch them, that they do not depart from the faith and therefore create a breach in the security of the wall and lead others astray. And should we also say, each of the builders' names were written on that portion of the wall. Industry has gone to the task of putting the workers, put their names on certain portions of the assembly, like a car. I went through the Corvette plant in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And that's one of the things that I saw them do. They talked about that, that this set of workers would put, it's where you can't see it, you know, on the underneath, they put a, you know, we built this. It was a way to what? To instill pride, to instill a purpose in their building, that people would know, this is my work. When we build, and we're all building, your name is on what you build. My name is on what I build. What is our name on? In what you've built thus far here in this local church. Is it something that we can take pride, legitimate pride, giving the glory to God in what we have done? And then our last division, the builders. Let's look at them. Who built and how they built. We can learn a lesson. The first one, we'll just read from verse 1. Then Eliashib, and I again do not know if I'm pronouncing these correctly, but I'm going to pronounce them anyway. And you don't know any better either, so you can't critique me, because you know what I learned in my little class that I studied a little Greek and a little Hebrew. According to the teachers that I have, nobody knows precisely how they pronounced them way back then. Then Eliashib, the high priest, arose with his brothers, the priest, and built the sheep gate. That's on the northeast corner of the wall. I should have put a picture in there of the sheep gate, but I forgot it. And built the sheep gate. And they consecrated it and hung its doors. They consecrated the wall to the tower of the hundred and the tower of Hanael. Elisha, the priest. So here the leaders, here's the lesson I draw from that. Leaders, elders, deacons, preachers, teachers, leaders are responsible to show the way to build the wall. To set the example, per our lesson this morning. To be a model of building. Not just telling others to do it, but doing it ourselves. Not just preaching, but practicing. And when we're preaching, and you preach whether you know it or not, I'm not just talking about public preaching and teaching, but in our Bible classes, when you make comments and contribute this, in this sense, you are speaking. Well, let's back that up with practice. Let's show an example. Do as I do, not just as I say. Well, they understood that too. Then right next to him, in verse 2, next to him, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zaccur, the son of Imri, built. Let's focus on the men of Jericho. It wasn't even their city. They're over there helping the people at Jerusalem to build their city. What does that show? Building in a city they didn't even live in. Well, you know, that doesn't affect me. I mean, I just let them handle that. It affects all of us. They were willing to help their brethren to be safe from the enemy. But also, if Jerusalem were strong, the benefits would radiate out to Jericho as well. Let Jerusalem fall. Now, if they bypassed Jericho and hit Jerusalem and it fell, do you think Jericho is going to last long? It could, but it won't. The nation and God's cause would survive an enemy attack if just one city, especially Jerusalem, survived. Now, there are Christians all over the world, and they are united in their love and obedience to the truth. We draw strength from one another, knowing that there are others building the wall, too, in their local areas, their local congregations. Each church is autonomous, I believe, by the biblical example and command, and should remain that way. But we all have a common interest in seeing the borders of the kingdom or the walls of the city extended. Visiting preachers come to help us build our portion. We have the responsibility to be an encouragement to other Christians in other places, as they are us. Remember how often Paul cited one church to serve as a good example to another church? Could he use our church as an example? Could he say, do it like Austin Road does it? They really are evangelistic. They're reaching out to the lost. Do it like Austin Road. They really have a family atmosphere there where they care for one another. They just don't talk about it. They live it. You see the power that could be in building the wall? And then let's go to the next. Moreover, next to him, the Tekoites made repairs. But their nobles did not support the work of their masters. Literally, they did not bend their neck to those who were in charge. But did it stop everybody because their leaders wouldn't go along with it? No, sir. Sometimes the followers are ahead of the leaders. They served without them, their leaders. Sometimes the followers, again, are out front of the leaders in being obedient servants of all. They take seriously what they sing, make me a servant. And apparently the leaders did not. In wall building, if you cannot follow, you cannot lead. Good followers can be good leaders. And good leaders are always good followers. If you're serving, you're going to be leading others by your humble spirit, your willingness to be a part of the building effort. And then next to them, Uzziel, the son of Harhiah, of the goldsmiths, made repairs. And next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs, and they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. What do they illustrate? What does a goldsmith and a perfumer know about building a wall? Well, apparently they knew enough to build. A goldsmith and a perfumer, these two worked outside of their profession and field of expertise. Building the walls is not just for the professionals, but it's for everyone, even a garbage man and an accountant, which I used to be. It's for everybody. I don't care what your particular expertise is. We're talking about a spiritual building. And here it's illustrated in a physical building. Everybody can build. Everybody can put their name on the wall because we're all building. And then, next to them, next to him, Shallum, the son of Helohesh, the official of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs, he and his daughters. Oh yes, ladies, you're not left out either. You can get out there and lay some brick and help with the building of the wall. So this man and his daughters built. Do you see that God is, why would he give us these details of how they did that? Because there's a message there. Families must build together, and not just the sons, but daughters too. Now, admittedly, if you read carefully the New Testament, there are gender roles. Roles for different genders in the Lord's kingdom. But that doesn't mean we don't build. Everybody. Ladies, if you're feeling left out because you're a female, go talk to one of the elders. Go talk to others. We don't want to leave anybody out. Everybody needs to build the walls. Because if we say, oh no, you're not needed, because only men are going to build this wall, then we have opened up a weakness in the wall. And then, Malchijah, the son of Rechab, the official of the district of Beth Hakarem, I worked on that one, repaired what? The refuse gate, or the dung gate. He built it and hung its doors with its bolts and its bars. Here's a picture of it from the north. This, we're inside the city, and you go out that gate. So in other words, the poor people who went around and picked up all the animal and human dung had a gate that they went out. Do you want to build that gate? Somebody's got to be willing to do, as we say, the dirty work. Here they did it. It's honorable work. When I was in the garbage hauling business, you say, well, John, did you have to pick up the garbage yourself? Usually not. I was managing the company. We had the big trucks, you know, to automatically pick it up. But there were one occasion I can remember when we were going around picking up Christmas trees after Christmas that people laid out and in these apartments that we had, and we had to do it by hand. And we had some sickness or something. And I was on the back of the truck. You know, it didn't hurt me. If you don't care how you work, you can do a lot of different kinds of work. It was honorable work. Now, my mother didn't want to tell a whole lot of people that her son was in the garbage hauling business, but that was her problem. That was her problem, and I told her so. He said, well, son, you just don't raise your son hoping he's going to be a garbage person. I said, well, Mama, it's honorable work. You don't believe it is? You just let them go on strike and you'll find out how important it is to pick up the garbage. You know, everybody wants you to pick it up. Nobody wants you to set it down next to them. Somebody's got to build the gate where they take out the dung. And then, this is our last one. Above the horse gate, the priest carried out repairs, each in front of his house. After them, Zadok, the son of Immer, carried out repairs in front of his house. After him, I skipped some verses there. After him, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, carried out repairs in front of his own quarters. Each one would have a special interest where they lived. So they built there. Fathers, mothers, whatever you do in the local kingdom, and you should work, don't neglect your family. Preachers have done that. Friends of mine have said with tears, John, in my early years, I just didn't see that. Running all over the country, helping people get saved, preaching the gospel, and I neglected my family. Take care of your family. Others may help us, but each of us must build around our own houses. What happens in a church when a family disintegrates? It affects everybody through divorce, adultery, kids going wild, going off the beam, denying the faith, kids who've grown up among us. We've experienced that here. It affects us. So to the degree that we can, let's build around our own houses. To build the wall is to build where I live. Well, what'd you get out of that? I'm done. I'm going to get a few concluding remarks and a passage, and then that's all I'll say tonight about this topic. What'd you get from that? How do you build the wall? You build the wall spiritually by participating in a local level in everything the local church is involved in some way. Not everybody can preach. Not everybody can lead the singing. Not everybody can be the primary contributors financially. Not everybody can teach. But every one of us can pray. Every one of us can have an interest. Every one of us can be a student. Every one of us can be a practitioner of what we learn. Every one of us can build around us and our families, spiritually speaking. Well, that builds the wall. It makes it strong. And so in conclusion, let's take this passage from 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 17. Paul writes, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul and the other apostles didn't lay the foundation. God did that. And what he did on the cross and in the grave and triumphing over the grave in the life of his son. But they built upon that. Further, now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. Those are different kinds of building material, aren't they? For the day will show it because it is to be revealed with fire. Well, what if you build out of straw and hay? Fire is going to consume it. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. That fire are the various difficulties that are going to come up in life and ultimately, of course, hear the judgment. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. In other words, our salvation does not depend absolutely on others. Ultimately, it depends on us. But we shall suffer loss if we do not build in a solid way. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. So, in conclusion, the book of life contains all the names of all the saved. Question. Is my name there? Is yours? Is your name in the book of life? And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. It's important that our name be in that book. Let each of us as builders write our names on the walls of Zion, just God's city, that God might write our name in the book of life. I close with this picture. Same Western Wall, just it had snowed. And it snowed so rarely there that when I saw that in one of the Jerusalem papers on the internet, I captured it. I'll just let that represent heaven. You want to go there? Just before we stand and sing, you think anybody's going to be dozing if, in fact, somebody starts reading the names out of the book of life? I don't know that literally is going to happen, but you think anybody's going to be dozing when that roll is called? When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there? No. We're going to be listening for our name. And God's going to call it if you've been a part of building the wall. If you've done your building, because it will endure. And that's your life. At the end of the deal, the wall that we build is our life. What we've become. And for that, God records our name in His book of life. Thank you for listening tonight. Take both lessons. You say, well, John, you're kind of preaching to the choir. Because the folks who are here typically are involved in everything that we do. Others are not. So let's take the message to them. Someone told me one time just recently, John, you're preaching to the choir. And I said, oh, it was my friend D. Bowman. We were talking about something. I was talking about when I listened, sat down, I was listening to a person. He said, I bet that was rare. So he was teasing me. And then later he said, well, John, you're just preaching to the choir. And I said, D, sometimes you got to preach to the choir to make certain that they keep on singing. I want to encourage you. Keep on doing what you're doing. If you're building, you're part of building the wall and contributing. And all together, let's spread the message to those who don't quite see it that way. Demographers and sociologists tell us that the millennials, that is that age group from late teens up through about mid-30s, they're not joiners. I grew up as a joiner. You want to join this club, join this, join the church. Well, that has some of its difficulties too. But they're not joiners. They don't see the value as much as former generations, I'm told, saw in being a part of a bigger group. We need to show them why it's so important for us to build together and to be a part of something that is secure and that is peaceful and that is prosperous. I'm talking spiritually speaking. We want you to get things from the scriptures that help you live your life 24/7. That's our goal. Thank you for listening tonight. If you'd love to come to the Lord, bring something to the attention of this body that we can pray with you, we'd love to do it. Let's stand. Let us sing.